May I speak in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In Jesus' time, people associated illness with sin. Not on this occasion, but on another one in John's Gospel, when Jesus went to heal a blind man, there was a discussion as to whose sin had caused his blindness, his own or his parents. Jesus answered that the man's blindness had nothing to do with his parents' sin or his own. In both stories, and others associated with curing blindness, there's a reoccurring theme of moving from darkness into light, from ignorance into understanding, and from blindness into seeing. And the barrier that prevents this seeing, this understanding, and this light is sin. So what is sin? Well, I recently read the comment that sin is a religious concept that cannot be understood by a secular society. The secular society will have ideas about the rightness and wrongness of actions, and one only has to read the Charter for Human Rights to see how comprehensive the secular concept of rightness and wrongness is. But the secular person is not talking about sin, because sin is not just a moral problem. Our sins are symptoms of our lack of spiritual health. Now, the secular world will recognise many of our sins because they overlap with their idea of moral rights and wrongs. Both the religious and the secular will consider murder, theft, torture, rape as wrong. But for the religious person, sin is the greatest barrier we face to finding God and true peace of mind. It's not just a moral question that can be debated. Wrong actions are not events that can be justified later. It all goes much deeper than that. Jesus, through his innocent and perfect life and death, acted as a unique mediator between sinful humanity and a holy and righteous God. Jesus taught that all sins are equally damaging. He said that it is just as wrong to think about murder, rape, adultery, and so on, as to actually do it. And although the consequences of wanting to kill someone and actually killing them are different, especially for the person who's killed, in actual fact, both the wanting and the doing are enough to separate us from God and deny us spiritual peace. So sin is a symptom of relationship, our relationships with each other, and even more important, our relationship with God. Sin in any form is an obstacle. It stunts our spiritual growth and it prevents us from becoming who we could be, children of God. So, what do we do about it? How do we overcome that obstacle that keeps us from our close relationship with God, which as religious people we want to achieve? I think it's very telling that Jesus did not set out rules to live by. In fact, it was the rules of the Pharisees and the Sadducees that he criticised, calling them blind and hypocritical. If you read Matthew 24, "How terrible for you teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of your cup and plate, while the inside is full of what you have obtained by violence and selfishness. Blind Pharisee, clean what is inside the cup first, and the outside will be clean too." For Jesus, the key to overcoming our sins was what was happening to us on the inside. That doesn't mean we should not be sorry for our sins. but a punitive, guilty, and fearful attitude as we obsess about individual sins and try to impose regimes upon ourselves to overcome them is totally counterproductive. And we end up with sin as the centre of who we are and not God. One thing that Jesus did command his disciples to do was to forgive and to ask for forgiveness, to let go and to love. When we discover how to do that, to be able to be still and know I am God, when we are able to find that deep contemplative attitude to prayer, when the obstacle of our sin diminishes and God's presence within us grows stronger, then we are beginning to put God at the centre of our lives and sin on the outside. I'm going to finish just with a quote from a book I read by Martin Laird. This is not exactly what he said in the book, but this is the gist. Martin Laird was thinking about, or had mentioned, Michelangelo. And as you know, Michelangelo always said with his sculptors that he never ever made David. He released David from the marble. So, according to an ancient theory of art, the practice of sculpting has less to do with fashioning a figure of one's choosing and more to do with being able to see in the stone the figure waiting to be liberated. The sculpture imposes nothing, but only frees what is held captive in stone. The practice of living the way Jesus wants us to is something like this. It doesn't work by means of addition or acquisition, but by release, chiseling away thought-shackled illusions, chiseling away our sin, that keeps us separated from God. We need to learn how to let go. To let go of the need to have our life circumstance be a certain way in order for us to live or pray or be deeply happy. Instead, we need to lose our life in order to find it. And as then we allow God to chisel away the barrier to God in our lives, what emerges slowly is the figure of our life in Christ. Amen.